We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, this is Sean Anderson of the CHGO White Sox podcast, and I am coming to you before a previously recorded episode with Herb and Vinny to tell you about news that we found out around 5 p.m. on Sunday. We recorded our episode around 2 p.m. We talked about some outfield signings around the league, but then through the White Sox Twitter account and through Liam Hendricks' own Instagram account, we have learned that Liam Hendricks is beginning treatment for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. On his Instagram page, Liam wrote, "Recently, I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Hearing the word cancer comes as a shock to my wife and I, as it does to millions of families each year. However, I am resolved to embrace the fight and overcome this new challenge with the same determination I have used when facing other obstacles in my life. My treatment begins tomorrow, and I am confident that I will make a full recovery and be back on the mound as soon as possible. I know with the support of my wife, my family, my teammates, and the Chicago White Sox organization, along with the treatment and care I get from my doctors, I will get through this." White Sox General Manager Rick Hahn also released a statement saying, "Our thoughts and reactions at this time are for Liam, the person, not Liam, the baseball player. I know the entire Chicago White Sox organization, our staff, his teammates, and certainly White Sox fans will rally in support of Liam and Christy during the coming months. Knowing everyone involved, especially Liam, we are optimistic he will pitch again for the White Sox as soon as viable. In the meantime, we will do everything in our power to support our teammate and his family as they face this challenge while also respecting their privacy. We do not expect to have any updates on Liam's playing status prior to opening day at the very earliest." You can follow Liam on Twitter at Hendricks_31. We will have more on this situation tomorrow at 4 p.m. on the CHGO White Sox show, but obviously our thoughts are with the fantastic person that we know Liam Hendricks to be. We hope him the best in his fight, and we know that all of Chicago and our CHGO listeners will rally around our closer. Now here is the previously recorded episode. Ayo, welcome into the CHGO White Sox podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app today and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. Welcome into a remote version of the CHGO White Sox podcast. We have the full CHGO White Sox crew with you. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. We have Vinny Duber back from Australia and now in a completely different city. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. And Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him on Twitter at Ecknerwall23, still hungover from 108 day yesterday, even though today is 108 day on Sunday. And you can follow him on Twitter at Ecknerwall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. How was your night last night, Herb?
I'm 44 now, so I can't do the things I used to do, but I continued to do it last night, and I'm paying for it today. I mean, just, didn't drink water in between drinks, all that stuff. But the enjoyable time we had last night is consistent with the 108 day at Reggie's. So that's a great facility also, because great music downstairs and then great drinks upstairs and the great atmosphere with the White Sox fans of the 108 and Sox Machine people. So I enjoyed myself, but you can hear my voice. It's a little hoarse today. It sounds like Harvey Fierstein.
I'll be very, very
cautious of that, and I won't be too loud for you today. We'll keep it a quiet light CHGO White Sox podcast. You got to hook up with Lawrence Holmes though, and the Sox Machine people. It's Sox Fest, but you know, very much smaller. So congrats to the 108 guys for having their 108 day. We got some stuff on the docket today. AJ Pollock got his money, so we'll be talking about AJ Pollock heading to Seattle. We'll talk about Adam Engel also heading out to the West Coast to Herb's old place and second team, the Padres. Jake Mariznick is now a White Sox / Charlotte Knight. And then we will also talk about the most meaningless game in baseball in 2022. Let's jump into AJ Pollock. We met him for a very brief time. He wasn't even a White Sox for a year. Very surprising when he left the White Sox and opted out, and he ends up getting $7.5 million from the Mariners today, and that is the largest or most money ever guaranteed to a free agent hitter by the Mariners, is $7 million. So he didn't recoup the full 13.5, but getting close to that number. What do we make of AJ Pollock going out west?
Good pickup by the Mariners, it seems. I mean, they're putting together a collection, of players that they think might be able to compete in that AL West. Obviously, they got the juggernaut out there with the Astros, but AJ Pollock seems like the kind of role player who could really help out the Mariners with some of the bigger names that they've got, or at least a volume of players that they've got out there. Good on the Mariners to pick up a veteran guy who does a couple things really, really well. He obviously wasn't going to fit, I think, moving forward as a everyday player for the White Sox, and shockingly opted out that contract to allow them to find a better fit, obviously, in Andrew Benintendi. You say he just about got the money back, but not all of it. So if you're counting the pennies and the dollars out there, AJ Pollock made the wrong business decision by about $500,000. But I guess when you've got $13 million, what's another $500,000, right? Who really cares if you're already counting your millions rather than your thousands? But good on the M's for getting a player in Pollock, and good on Pollock for finding a job that nearly paid him as much as he might have made had he stayed in Chicago.
And I think that he probably, like you were talking about, Sean, probably be in a platoon maybe with Jared Kelnick out there in left field, righty-lefty platoon, even though Kelnick is a plus outfielder. AJ's an average outfielder, especially from left field. So they can have a platoon where the guys are exploded to the places that they exceed or excel the best, with AJ Pollock crushing left-handers. And now Jared Kelnick is a young player who supposedly is supposed to crush right-handers. And so it's a perfect a storm out there. But as Vinny said, hey, man, that was a gamble you took. I don't know if it was a smart gamble, because you didn't recoup your money. You almost got it all back. But still, like, is their situation out there in Seattle that much better than it would have been with the White Sox?
Yes.
I mean, the White Sox wouldn't have Andrew Benintendi. He would have had left field to himself. Like, for everything that we talk about, if AJ Pollock says, I'm coming back for that $13 million, he's the left fielder for the most part. And so this is a platoon. Maybe the numbers will look better, and maybe the team will perform better than what the White Sox did or will do in 2023. But I don't know if it's a great move. Like, it didn't really, the juice wasn't worth the squeeze. You had to sit out all this time to get a deal that's less than what he would have got for the White Sox. So congratulations, but I don't think it was a great move for him. I think it'll work out well for the Mariners though.
Yeah, I mean, he's on a better team. So, I mean, I think it makes sense for him in that sense. And also, we could just look at his career. Started in Arizona, then went to LA, then a brief stop in Chicago, and then back out in the West Coast. So I think he just likes that sort of cooking out there. And plus, you know, Jared Kelnick, even though, I know you wanted to trade him for Eloy Jimenez, Herb.
All the time.
Looking at the platoon, it's kind of top heavy with AJ Pollock really carrying the load. Kelnick in his career versus right-handers, an OPS of 658. Pollock last year, a OPS of 935 versus left-hander. So even though he wasn't a plus defender, he still had his moments. He still had a couple of home run robberies. I think of the Alex Bregman one in the 21-5 slaughtering back at Guaranteed Rate Field. But I think Pollock can win this job. He could be the starting, right fielder for the Mariners. And if not, right now, Fangraphs has him slotted as their DH. So he's going to be getting plate appearances for a postseason team. And, you know, obviously they might not win that division because the Astros are pretty good, but they haven't really bolstered that rotation after losing Justin Verlander. The White Sox are fine letting Jose Abreu go. You know, maybe that AL West is for the taking, especially if AJ Pollock hits like he did against left-handers. And, you know, maybe his, we talked about when the White Sox acquired him, Vinny, you know, his ability to hit right-handers and left-handers was about equal when he was in LA. So maybe the fortunes against right-handers turns around.
Yeah, I mean, listen, AJ, he's a fine hitter, and I think that, you know, if he goes somewhere where he doesn't have to be the guy or one of the guys, then that's great. And I think that's what he was supposed to be on the White Sox. And then all those injuries happen, all the underperformances happen, and there was a lot more focus maybe on what AJ Pollock was doing on a daily basis, just because people, White Sox fans and people following this team knew that Yoan Moncada wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing, and Yasmani Grandal wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. And, you know, all of a sudden AJ Pollock's the fourth or fifth best hitter on this team when he was supposed to be hitting eighth all year. And it didn't really work out that way, obviously. So if he can go somewhere where he's a little bit more buried in the lineup or part of the, just kind of part of the mix, as opposed to a relied upon player in the mix, then maybe he has some more success, or at least, you know, the perception of his success is different by Mariners fans and folks following that Seattle team than it was for his year here in Chicago.
Very odd for him to get signed by the Mariners. That's not DePoto's thing. That's not his MO. He's usually trying to trade for people. So very odd for him to do that. And remember, they traded for Teoscar Hernandez, who I think will be playing the majority of right field out there in Seattle for them, because he's got a better arm than what AJ or Kelenic can bring to the table. And so I think, you know, if best case scenario for AJ is, like you said, he just outperforms Jarrett Kelenic and he takes that job from day one and he's gets majority of the starts. I think it's going to be more like Jarrett Kelenic's going to be playing a lot because he's a highly touted prospect. They trade a lot of people for to get from the Mets, or they traded away Diaz and other players to get from the Mets. He's going to play. There's no doubt about it. He's a highly touted prospect that only has one more option left, so you can't really be sending him back and forth to AAA Tacoma too much. So I think the majority of the time will go to him. AJ will probably perform well in his lefty splits when he faces versus a left-hander out there out west.
Yeah, they still got another top prospect or former top prospect on their bench too, a left-hander, yeah. Taylor Trammell, former Padre. So, hey, maybe Trammell can end up beating out Kelenic. But when you look at the lineup,
Kyle Lewis, is he still doing things?
I think he left. I think Kyle Lewis was released or he was traded or something. Yeah, he's a Diamondback now.
Wow, former Rookie of the Year.
Who is that swap was a weird one too. It was Cooper Hummel, who is also I think like a top outfielder for them. So I think it was kind of like an even deal or so. I think they both were seen about one scenery, even though trade. Yeah, even though Kyle Lewis was Rookie of the Year, should have been Luis Robert. Anyways, let's take a quick break here. And that lineup does look crazy. I do think the Mariners probably. I don't know if they made themselves the favorite, but I wouldn't be shocked if they won the AL West this year, just after that fantastic year, loading up that rotation. And now you got Julio Rodriguez, Ty France, Eugenio Suarez, Teoscar Hernandez, like Herb said, Colton Wong, who many White Sox fans wanted, Cal Raleigh, who might be one of the better catchers in the league. JP Crawford's got a solid glove. You got AJ Pollock, Jarrett Kelenic, and then Dylan Moore, Tom Murphy, Sam Haggerty, and Taylor Trammell off the bench. Pretty solid squad they got out there.
Cool job, yeah. But you don't pronounce their name the Houston Astros, so they will not be winning the AL West.
All right, there you go.
Sean just ready to move on from the reigning world champions who added the best player on the White Sox and one of the best hitters in baseball. No, they lost Justin Verlander. They have like four other guys who were in the Cy Young running, and oh God, now they're just terrible. The Mariners are going to walk right over them. Come on, Sean.
AJ Pollock, put him over the top.
I think so. I think AJ Pollock was that finishing piece. You know, Andrew Benintendi was the finishing piece Carlos Correa was the finishing piece for the New York Mets, as Steve Cohen described it. And AJ Pollock was that finishing piece for the 2023 AL West Seattle Mariners. Make sure, people, when you are looking for gifts in your life for the sports fan, that you're going to the
best sports gear around. FOCO has you covered from Soldier Field to the living room, north or south side. They'll even get Vinny covered in KC with hoodies, slippers, signs, bobbleheads, and everything in between. You can get decked out like DeMar with apparel from Leaders in Sports and merch and collectibles. FOCO, if you're looking for the perfect gift for the football fan in your life, FOCO's got you covered with hoodies to fight that Lake Michigan breeze. So check out FOCO.com, that's F-O-C-O.com, or click the link in the description below. And for all non-presale items, use promo code CHGO for 10% off. And don't forget, the Andrew Benintendi bobblehead is not a presale item. So you can get the Andrew Benintendi Arkansas bobblehead for 10% off right now if you want to check that
Woo
out
at FOCO.com. Pig suey.
He's a hog. And then we got to let you know about Game Time. Game Time's the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. You ever dreamed of sitting in a seat and never thought you could? At the 50-yard line, courtside, behind home plate, floor seats at a concert, right up on the glass at a hockey game. It is possible with the Game Time app. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found on the seats you never thought you could buy. You won't find a better deal this season on Blackhawks tickets. They play Thursday at the United Center, or Bulls tickets. They play Friday at the United Center, and Game Time was created by the fans for the fans, and that's why they guarantee the lowest price out there. And if you find a better deal, let Game Time know after you bought your tickets, and they will make sure to match it 110%, Herb. Or was it just 100? And Herb's on mute. Okay, because it's probably a siren. 110%. Thank you. So if you love CHGO, then you'll love Game Time. The best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats to all your favorite events. Got to stay on your toes. I was in my little, you know, read section here, and I thought, you know, Herb was unmuted, but you probably were dealing with all those sirens and loud drivers that you got.
People are honking a lot around my building. I don't know what's going on today. It's weird. And they probably know I got a hangover and a headache. They're like, here we go.
I think they're sending off Adam Engel. You know, he's going out west. He's going to your team, San Diego, signs a minor league deal. Adam Engel, a long tenured White Sox, former draft pick out of Louisville, has been with the team since 2017. What's he bringing to your new squad in San Diego? Or what's he bringing to his new squad in San Diego, your second squad, Herb?
He's bringing, like, he was here. He was a plus outfielder despite the drop in Baltimore. A guy who still, despite all that, was a plus outfielder, was outs above average, I think, was like at four. A guy that can steal base or three. So when he's out there, he's probably going to be either a straight platoon with Gold Glover, Trent Grisham. More likely, he'll be a replacement late in the game for Fernando Tatis, either in right or left field, because he can play those positions very well without any problem. And Fernando Tatis will be the first time he's out there for his major league career as a starter. So look for him to be a pinch runner. And I think San Diego fans are going to fall in love with him because they're going to put him in the right position to succeed. We've seen him in 2019 after he came back from the minors. And Frank Menachino worked with him down in Charlotte, came back with a power bat. And 2020 was good, 2021 not as good, and 2022 his offensive production just fell off the table. I don't know if that's due to the hamstring he had to deal with in 2021, where he was out for a significant amount of time for the White Sox, and it just lingered on till 2022. But he should be healthy, and he should be contributing to the Padres very well, and put him into that fourth or fifth outfielder role that pretty much closed the door on Jerickson Profar coming back to the Padres. So another person, if the White Sox wanted to check out and see if Jerickson Profar can still play second base, it might be a good thing for them to look into, because he's a solid player who hits from the left side of the plate. But I'm nothing but greatness out there for Adam Engel. All he has to do is do his job that he was paid to do here for the White Sox. But there, I think it'll be a little bit better situations to do it there, and a little bit more healthy than he was with the White Sox.
It's all about the bat with Adam Engel. I mean, this is a guy who was a glove first outfielder when he started with the White Sox. And, you know, it took a little bit for the bat to catch up. And until it did, people were wondering, okay, what kind of place does he have on this team? Yeah, you can catch the ball and rob home runs, but that doesn't really earn you much in the way of major league playing time if you can't hit to go along with it. He's kind of back to that spot you know, after a pretty down year offensively in 2022. You know, for his sake, here's hoping that he can show up to spring training with San Diego and rediscover what he was doing offensively for those couple of years with the White Sox when that bat was major league caliber to go along with a really, really good glove. You know, if not, he's going to be a fringe guy, and it's going to be a question of whether or not he belongs on that Padres roster. But if he can hit the way he did in 20 and 21 here on the South side, then yeah, he's got a spot as a fourth outfielder. He really looked like the stereotypical fourth outfielder there for a while with the Sox. Now it's getting back to that because you got to hit if you're going to be able to get some playing time at the big league level.
Yeah, just bad luck. I mean, probably the definition of a grinder, wearing the number 41 and then changing it to 15. Just a very grinder move from Adam Engel. But also, like, 25 extra base hits in 75 games over 2020 and 2021. And the big thing is he probably had a lot of different opportunities to get playing time in 2021 with the injuries, but him himself was also injured. And that's why we saw Brian Goodwin get so many opportunities with the White Sox. So you just look at 2020 and 2021, and it just seems like missed opportunities from Adam Engel just because he really was finding his stride. And I think you make great points, Herb, that, you know, obviously he's going to play better outfield defense than Fernando Tatis Jr. That's a given. But even we know that he'll steal bags. He's got a great stolen base to caught stealing ratio, 47 stolen bags to 17. And now with the new rules, he might even see a bigger jump with that. He is extremely fast and extremely athletic. And I found this stat. Apparently, when he robbed Wilson Contreras on May 22nd of a home run, that was his eighth home run robbery, which tied him for fifth among active players with Justin Upton for most home run robberies. And we saw one of them too with Jesse Winker. We know how good this glove can be. And I just think, again, like you have bad luck with the injuries in 2020 and 2021, and then you have awful luck with that play in Baltimore in 2022. Adam Engel makes that 99 out of 100 times coming down in that line and catching that fly ball, and the White Sox win that game. I'm not going to say that would rewrite the White Sox season because Luis Robert still later on in that game was trying to take swags at, hacks at Felix Bautista, and you know was clearly just in so much pain that that was probably more of a bigger issue than Adam Engel. But you know, it's a guy that I think means a lot to the rebuild White Sox. So it's kind of an old face leaving, and I don't know. I just wanted to give him a little bit of props here. I don't know if he's going to make a huge splash. If he's healthy, maybe. But it's a lot of what ifs for Adam Engel. I think everything has to really go right for him to have a successful time out there in San Diego. But like you said, they're not really looking for him to change the world in San Diego. So we wish him well.
Yeah, he's got still like 90th percentile sprint speed, 90th on outfield jump. And then the walls out there in San Diego are small. They're short. I think they're only about 7 feet tall or 8 feet tall. So he'll be making a couple more home run robberies if he gets the chance.
There you go. And I think, too, we did see one. We were sitting there in section 108, and Jesse Winker, your guy, hits a skying fly ball, and Adam Engel just goes directly vertical up in the air in the rain. It was a real sick catch, and we saw just from that angle and viewpoint, Adam Engel's red glove just pop up over the wall and then come back and down with it. So, yeah, some fun stuff from Adam Engel. Always a fun player to watch.
Hey, he deserves his props. Yeah, it was a very, I think initially I didn't like the player because I thought, like Vinny said, glove only, but he turned himself into a good hitter. And I just think that he can go back to that. Sometimes he would come up, he looked dangerous. As you were talking about the extra base hits he had in 2020 and 2021, he looked dangerous with the bat after he came back working, oddly enough, with Frank Minicano. So I think he can recapture that out there in San Diego and out there in the NL West.
Yeah, we'll see. And then let's talk about a new addition to the White Sox. Out with the old, in with the new. Kenny Van Doren with Inside Astros at the Vandalorian tweeted on Jan 6th, the White Sox have signed former Astros outfielder Jake Mariznick to a minor league deal with an invite to major league spring training. A source told Astros Future, if Mariznick makes the major league roster, he will be paid $1.3 million, the source added. So Jake Mariznick now going to be a White Sox, and he's going to be maybe contending for that fourth outfield spot with Victor Reyes, Billy Hamilton. What do we make of this kind of quad A battle going on? I also do want to update no Mark Payton. Mark Payton is going to I believe Korea. So Mark Payton no longer in the White Sox organization.
No. We'll see what happens. you've got to, well, Herb, try to sell that one a little bit more. You know, we'll see what happens with those group of veterans in spring training. But, you know, I wouldn't be, you know, putting a lot of money down on any of those guys making a huge impact this year, but listen, it's depth and, you know, they'll show up to spring training and try to impress. Billy Hamilton jumps out because he's a guy that can be deployed in some very specific situations to me. You know, Mariznick has been around, Reyes has been around. They can do the job if they need to, but I'm curious what sort of opportunity those guys get if they do get a spot, take up a spot on that major league roster. I mean, Andrew Benintendi is not giving up many games in left field unless, you know, and, you know, if healthy. Same goes with Luis Robert in center field. We would all expect, I think, Oscar Colas to get a bulk of the playing time in right field. But then again, you got Gavin Sheets. You know what I mean? I think a lot of people thought that he was going to be a guy that was going to be removed from that mix, you know, to kind of break that logjam of guys that could only play a certain kinds of position. But Gavin Sheets is still here, and right now he's a right fielder, you know, because Andrew Vaughn is likely going to get the vast majority of the playing time at first base. So I would expect Sheets to get the opportunities that you would think would go to all those guys that you just mentioned. Now, you know, maybe Hamilton or Reyes or Mariznick does make the team, and they're there just to go play, you know, two innings of right field or two innings of, you know. But if you're upgrading the defense with Benintendi in left and Colas in right, How much opportunity is there even for a defense first guy? So these guys are here to provide some depth. You know, if something does happen health-wise, and it seems to always happen health-wise, you know, you can bring those guys up to provide something. But I think your fourth outfielder right now is Gavin Sheets, even if he can't go and play center and left. In the case of an emergency, you do have Leury Garcia, who can play those positions in a pinch if need be.
And I think it's a good signing. I mean, depending on how you look at it, Baseball Savant has his arm strength at 61 for 2021. In 2022, it jumped up to the 96th percentile. How? How do you get a stronger arm in what is seventh, eighth year in Major League Baseball?
Small sample size. He had one throw of 122 or something.
Yeah, and so his sprint speed also has declined, but it's still in the 85th percentile of Major League Baseball. Just like Adam Engel, this will be a glove first guy. And as Vinny says, if he's on the team, Gavin Sheets is probably the fourth outfielder slash DH replacement for Aloy. So he's going to get more of the playing time than all the players that you mentioned going for minor league deals for the White Sox. But I could see Jake Mariznick or Billy Hamilton or Victor Reyes making the team, not all three. And if they play way too much, that's not a good thing because they get exposed to who the players are in their major league career really quickly.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm worried about them getting exposed too much. I would think if any of these guys made the team, maybe Reyes would only make the team for his bat only just because he's more of a corner outfielder. But Mariznick has center field you know, experience. Billy Hamilton has center field experience. You look at the roster and Luis Robert's the only other guy on the roster with center field experience. So I think it just makes sense with the way that this team is currently structured. But again, we'll have to see Jake Mariznick take, you know, 12 to 15 at bats in spring training and Victor Reyes take 12 to 15 at bats in spring training and figure out what this looks like. Cause you know, I don't think there's a clear cut winner right now, just because all of these guys seem to be middling, you know, bottom roster guys. And Mariznick last played for the Pirates and, you know, they were looking for anybody who could swing a bat at a major league level, and Mariznick can kind of do that.
I mean, if everybody's healthy, I don't see any of these guys making the team. I mean, right? I mean, because where are they playing? What is the opportunity they're getting to play? I mean, here's the thing too. Your DH, in the case of an emergency, can play outfield. Like, the reason you have these guys is that hopefully they go to AAA, and then if you got to put one of your starting three outfielders on the injured list, then they come up and play. But I just don't see a lot of opportunity for these guys. You're talking about these guys being one of these guys making the team as a fifth outfielder or as a fifth and a half outfielder. If you're talking about Aloy and Leury who aren't going anywhere, you know, even if they're not going to be playing a lot of outfield, I just don't see the opportunity worth soaking up a roster spot with these guys. You know, I think you get a backup, you get a backup outfielder, a backup infielder, and a backup catcher, and there's not really that much left.
I see your point. I don't know if Gavin, like, Rick's talked about a trade, and I don't know. I think Gavin is somewhat maybe interesting to teams. So, like, I could see Gavin off this team, and maybe that's, you know, they trade away that bat for somebody who's a little bit more sure-gloved as a replacement. But you're right. I think right now, you know, if no moves are made from here, I don't see any of these guys making the opening day roster. Like you said, unless there is injury. But Jake Mrazek, you'll see him at least in spring training. Could be a Jonathan Lucroy, if anything. We'll take a quick break here, and then we'll let you know about the most meaningless game in MLB in 2022. We got to let you know the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program is committed to helping families and business in the communities we serve save money and energy. ComEd offers free facility assessments that can help find energy saving opportunities, whether it's lighting, HVAC system, commercial equipment, or industrial processes. And an authorized engineer will work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goal and needs. And these can be done in person or virtually and last approximately 2 hours. And within 3 to 4 weeks, customers will receive a report detailing energy efficiency projects that they can start working on immediately. And each recommendation will include estimated energy savings, project costs, potential incentives, and simple paybacks. So don't wait. Get started saving money and energy today. For energy saving tips and to schedule your free facility assessment, go to comed.com/poweringbiz. That's comed.com/poweringbiz. And you can email businessee@comed.com or request an assessment online at our website at comed.com/facility assessment. We also got to let you know about DraftKings Sportsbook, the fans, the tradition, the glory. There is nothing more thrilling than college football, and it all comes down to the national championship game happening on Monday. My go-to for betting is DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook, and you have the TCU Horned Frogs versus the Georgia Bulldogs coming up on Monday. The Georgia Bulldogs are 12-point favorites right now on DraftKings Sportsbook. And right now, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and get $200 in free bets instantly, win or lose. Plus, everyone can combine multiple bets for bigger payouts with DraftKings same game parlay. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use code CHGO, and new customers can bet just $5 on college football and get $200 in free bets instantly. That's code CHGO, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. All right, I want to bring this post up from Reddit, from Constant_Gardner. And, you know, we did so many pre and post games, especially near the end. We really weren't sure what they were playing for. And I felt very vindicated when this post came across, because Constant Gardner was looking for the most meaningless game in Major League Baseball. And basically what they did was they limited all games which a team had something to play for: division title, wild card spot, home field advantage in the playoff, higher playoff seating. And then after he did that, 94% of games were eliminated. So, you know, just kind of shows you how important all 162 are when 94% of games can get eliminated. But then that got you down to an 83 candidate list. And most of them are September games, some October games as well, a lot of different White Sox games as well. But to determine which one was the most pointless out of all of those, he took out great performances. So pitchers with a game score over 75, an example of that, September 24th, Sandy Alcantara, 8 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, 11 Ks. That's a big game. That wasn't worthless, right? Dylan Cease almost having a no hitter. That wouldn't have been a worthless game, right? That was a very important game. And then batters who had 8+ hits, one of those games being the Cubs Reds, one of those games being, was it Cubs Reds? Cubs Reds, and it was Hunter Green going 6 innings and 2 hits. But then there was also record pursuits. Albert Pujols was chasing the career home run record. Dodgers were chasing the win record. Aaron Judge's home run pursuits, right? Those games weren't. There was some saying goodbye moments. Jose Abreu's last game as a White Sox. Wilson Contreras' final game at Wrigley,
in which he did not play.
Which he did. Well, no, the October 4th one is
his actual last day. Game played, yeah. You mean?
Yes. Yeah, so that one was not, like, the October 5th one is still available, I guess.
Gotcha.
Then MLB debuts. You know, we saw Bo Naylor for the Guardians make his debut on October 1st. And then there were some award finalists too making their plate appearances and stuff like that. You know, you had Adley Rutschman playing games and was finishing second place in Rookie of the Year. So you got down to 24 games. And then something interesting happened. You know, Tony La Russa stepped down on October 3rd and the White Sox win. So that game was eliminated. The White Sox and Twins at September 28th, it capped off the White Sox longest losing streak of the year. And then there were some rookies playing, right? But the most meaningless game, I'll get to the point, September 29th, White Sox versus Twins, a local noontime on a cool Thursday in Minnesota. Two eliminated teams with nothing to play for. No player who finished in the top five in MVP, Cy Young, or Rookie of the Year voting appeared. No records were being sought after. No legends saying goodbye. Only a few rookies got to play. No one made their debut. There was no outstanding performances. No batter hit a home run. No pitcher went deeper than five innings. No reliever struck out the side. There were no 10 pitching changes made for some reason. Attendance was poor, and the home team lost. It was a game, and it took place, and that's how I really felt like most of the games were in late September and October. So I don't know. I just wanted to share that. Herb and Vinny, when we were kind of sitting there, and even though you made the trip out to Minnesota for those games.
I was there. I was at that one.
Sometimes our job doesn't mean anything, I think.
Hey, I got to have some delicious arepas that night in Minneapolis. So very nice. Well worth it. Not meaningless to me. No, I remember that. I remember being there for that day. And you're right. It was just, I mean, listen, day games, a midweek day game at the end of a series always has the same feel to it for the most part, whether it's April, whether it's July, whether it's September. But man, when you get down to the end there, the way that those two teams were, you know, the Guardians had run away with things at that point. And it really, I mean, listen, those were the two teams that were the kings of the kings of the Central the previous 2 years. And the Guardians just blew past them in 2022. They were both seeming kind of like, oh God, we got to play 10 more games. And of course that wasn't what we were hearing from the players. So I don't want to put those words in their mouths, but certainly it had that vibe to it. And ooh, yeah, that's just what are we doing here? Who started that game for the Sox?
Lucas Giolito. He went
five
innings, gave up two earned, and left the game with a 5 ERA for the season.
Yeah, Mark Payton was who we talked to. He must have done something in that game. We talked to him after that game. It was Lucas and Mark Payton.
Oh, geez, I'm trying to find. I'm pulling up the box score right now.
Yeah.
Lucas Giolito pitched, relieved by Jimmy Lambert in the sixth inning. So he went out for the sixth inning and got relieved by Jimmy
Mark
Lambert.
Payton, Mark Payton got his first RBI.
First major league RBI?
Yeah, I think that is. So it's not even meaningless. Mark Payton got his first MLB RBI.
Now he's off to Asia.
That tells you all you need to know. A big significant thing for Mark Payton, like, nah, who cares? Nobody cares about that Korean baseball league player. Get him out of here.
Oh, man. Yeah.
The White Sox used six pitchers in that game. Like, that game mattered. They're trying to win that game.
It mattered to Miguel Cairo.
Billy Hamilton scored and played in that game.
God.
I mean, that's
both teams
brutal.
Used six pitchers each.
Oh, and I mean, like Liam walked the guy too. Like, he didn't even have a clean end to the game. Just ugly stuff from the White Sox and Twins.
Both pitchers had a game score of 54. Both five innings. Both earned runs or two. Both walked multiple people. Just like a black game. But it looked like the weather was good. 61 degrees.
There you go.
It's true. Sunny. Hey. It was nice and sunny.
And a game time of 3:11, so at least it wasn't super long. But anyways, that's going to do
it right there. You had
the,
it.
It's the color of your energy. What?
There you go.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I don't need to make 3:11.
You're all
jokes.
Mixed up, Sean.
We'll end it now. I don't need to start making 3:11 references.
be here all night.
So we're going down.
Are these just 3:11 references that you guys are doing now?
Obviously, one of Herb's favorite bands.
They made three songs, and they're all the same chords. Sounded great.
That's Vinny Duber. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. That's Herb Lawrence, the biggest 3:11 fan I know. You can follow him on Twitter at EcknerWall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community.
17 songs that I actually like. Sorry. The replies to this thing.
Herb's going to go listen to some Blue October. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. We will talk to you on Monday at 4 p.m. for the CHGO Live White Sox show. We'll talk to you then. Go Sox.